I love the title of this message, Mothers, the Original Seatbelt. How many of you remember driving or riding in a car that did not have seatbelts? Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? Exactly. And moms would always throw out that right hand arm either to smack you or to restrain you from going through the windshield, right? It was an epic adventure. Let me just say that it is impossible for me to say and accurately describe everything about mothers in a 30-minute or less sermon. Now, let me preface that with saying that this day, today, can be one of the happiest days of you remembering times with your mother, but it can also bring a lot of pain and struggle. And we're going to be in Proverbs 31, obviously, today. It's probably one of the most used scriptures that defines a mother, a wife, and a godly mother and a godly wife. But the problem is that not all mothers can measure up to Proverbs 31. When we read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, it is one of the most unique descriptions of a mother. Now, there are those that have measured up to that and done everything that they could possibly do for their children. And there are many broken relationships between mothers and children, as well as mothers and fathers. So let me ask you today, what is the ideal woman like? What is the ideal woman like? Now, this is nearly impossible, as you could probably already understand, that men can barely define or even understand anything about women. So, I mean, it's kind of difficult for me to stand up here and preach about Mother's Day and what it means to have an ideal woman or what that is like. And I venture to guess that if I were to ask what the ideal woman would be like, I think we would get varied answers, right? There'd be so many different answers. Some would say that the ideal woman is a woman who will obey your every whim, your every command, and do everything you tell them to do. See? Some would say that the ideal woman is a woman who worships the ground that you walk on. Okay? Others say that the ideal woman can do the work of two men. And if women were prime ministers and presidents, wars would end, unemployment would be eliminated, and world hunger would be a thing of the past. I think the truth lies somewhere in between those extremes, right? That's just the way it works. Proverbs 31 talks a great deal about the ideal wife and mother. Verses 11 and 12 talk about her husband, and how her husband can completely trust in her, that she'll in no way embarrass him. That's not going to say that he won't embarrass her, right? That's going to happen. But a Proverbs woman understands that relationship and the importance of working together. Verses 13, 14, and 15. A Proverbs woman is not afraid of work. She works hard and long days. She feeds and clothes her family well. Even in today's climate, she has so many different roles. Verse 16, for example, she keeps her eye open for great deals. She's diligent in her business. Verses 26 and 27, she watches her speech and her behavior. Okay? I believe that all women should strive to achieve the idealistic description that is given in Proverbs 31. Here's the problem with that. with all of that, that describes the ideal wife, the ideal mother, talks about trust, hard work, long days, feeding and clothing the family, keeping her business diligent, looking for great deals, being God-honoring in her speech and her behavior. Here is the problem. We live in a real world. Right? Okay. So let's talk about the idealistic versus the realistic. Idealistic. In an ideal world, everything is perfect. Nothing ever goes wrong in an ideal world, right? It's perfect. You ain't got to worry about anything. In a perfect world, everyone gets what he or she wishes for. Everything ends with, and they all lived happily ever after. That's the ideal world. In a realistic world, we deal with problems throughout all of our life. In a real world, we deal with broken dreams, and those are often the norm. In a real world, we struggle because some things will never be fixed. In a real world, raising children, the idealistic mother will expect to attend her son's graduation as he graduates with honors. That's the ideal. But the realistic is much more common. A mother may have to visit her son in jail or prison, or maybe even visit their graveside. Maybe even be a wife that is childless. That's real. That's the world in which we live. That's the struggle. Look at verse 10 in Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? It's a question. It's not a statement. He says, an excellent wife, who can find? I don't know. She is far more precious than jewels. So when you find that excellent wife, you might want to hold on to her. Amen. Amen. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, I'm not sure why, and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant and brings her food from afar. She takes care of her family, is what it's saying. She considers a field and buys it. She's a real estate mogul, I guess. Okay, with fruit of her hands, and she plants a vineyard. She's a farmer. Excuse me. She considers a field. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She takes care of herself. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor. She's generous. She reaches out with hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is not known by his own name, but by the husband of someone else. That's huge. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, does that seem idealistic or realistic? I don't know. There's a lot of symbolism in there. There's a lot of this grandiose idea about women and about mothers specifically and all of the things that they are required to do. Just when they're talking about their homes, the idealistic mother lives in a castle, in a mansion type home that's sitting on a hill. The realistic mother may live in an apartment downtown or in a run-down neighborhood. The realistic mother might be single. The realistic mother may have to have two jobs. The idealistic mother is a mother who has a master's degree or a PhD and is running her own business. The realistic mother may have barely finished high school and dropped out and is working on a GED. And she takes whatever job she can take, whatever she can find to provide for her family. You see, idealistic families only exist in fairy tales, in poems, or movies. Most of us, now I say this, most of us live in a real world. Most of us live in reality. So, sitting in our pews today, and pews across America are realistic moms living in the real world. And we give cards, we give flowers, and we give gifts and to this weekend to the mothers. But what do mothers really need? Do they need another Hallmark card? Do they need another bouquet of flowers? Those are all great and wonderful in their time, but what do mothers truly need? Okay, we got love, we got grace, we got... Okay, first of all, here's what I found. Mothers, first of all, need forgiveness. Forgiveness for all the times that she wasn't able to meet all of the idealistic expectations that this world has placed on her shoulders. Mothers need forgiveness for all of that mess. You see, forgiveness will change her countenance. It will relieve the guilt, even if it's unrealistic. Forgiveness for all of the mistakes. Mothers aren't perfect, right? I'm sorry to tell you on Mother's Day, but mothers are not perfect, okay? They make mistakes. So, I mean, it's just normal. Forgiveness for all of the mistakes that she has made in her life. Forgiveness for the sins that she has committed against God. Remember, all have sinned, even mothers. Forgiveness is a powerful thing for mothers. For them to realize that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to give my best. All have sinned. Secondly, I think mothers need grace. To understand that no one is perfect in a real world. To accept that which... ever she has done, it's done. You can't go back and change it. You have to keep going on. To understand, grace, to understand that you are not alone. Many others are in the same position this morning. Mothers, maybe you're feeling unaccepted or a lack of grace or a lack of forgiveness in your life from those that you are around every day. The best way to handle that is very simple. Give that grace to your mother. Listen, my mom, hopefully she's listening to this. If not, that's okay. That just means she doesn't really love me. But you know, forgiveness, you got to think about all of the stuff that happens in life. And you know, I joke with my mom because, you know, I was an only child. I had everything I wanted, everything I needed. And I was spoiled. I still am. Okay. That's just the way it is. But I will tell you this. My mom has a dog named Charlie. Charlie is taken better care of than I ever was as a child. Okay. Exactly. He is a well-contented, well-loved Yeah, she's watching. Okay, great. I see all the hearts popping up there. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I guess it's better, easier the second time around. A dog doesn't talk back. I'm not really sure. I know I wasn't that great of a kid. And so, you know, forgive me, Mom, for all of the times that I took you for granted. Forgive me for all of the times that I did all of those stupid things. Let me show some grace today to understand that no one is perfect. In a real world, we all fall short. Forgiveness is powerful. Grace is wonderful. And finally, I think we need to show mercy. You see, we deal with broken hearts and broken homes all the time. We see mothers that deal with wayward children that do things that they didn't, that the family, the mother never expected that child to do. To deal with all of the heartaches and the decades of mothering, I think mothers need to be shown mercy today. Now, I'm not excusing inappropriate behavior. I am saying there is a God that can help guide you through this. That regardless of your situation this morning, you need a God of reality. You need a God who loves you beyond measure. You need a God who understands that forgiveness is for all. A God that understands that especially on Mother's Day, we live in a real world and we are imperfect people in need of a Savior. And so forgiveness and grace and mercy should be first and foremost applied to our lives. We serve a God of reality. A God that doesn't expect us to be high in that castle or that mansion on a hill all the time. A God who doesn't expect us to do all of this Proverbs 31 thing at the same moment. What he's asking us to do is find the things that we're good at and accentuate those in our life. Find a way to deal with the broken heart and the broken home. Find a way to deal with the wayward child and the struggles that you face, to deal with the heartaches of decades of mothering in difficult situations. For those of you that today might be a day of pain and struggle and sorrow because of some situation with your mother, or maybe your mother has gone on to meet the Lord, whatever that is, understand that that forgiveness and that grace and that mercy must still be applied in your life. Because we serve a God of reality. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to turn there just for a moment. See, Hebrews chapter 2 speaks a great deal about God's love for us and the way that not only is He available to us, but I think it's also about the way that He is sympathetic with our situation. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Therefore, He had to be made like His brother in every aspect. Verse 17, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself had suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Not only is Christ our priest, our high priest, but He's sympathetic to our situation and He intercedes for us. For Jesus Christ came and He lived in the flesh. He felt our pain. He felt our successes. He felt a real life and He continues to feel that for us today. And look at chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We serve a God who loves us beyond measure and leads us to that grace every day. We serve a God who recognizes the difference between the idealistic and reality. We serve a God, a Christ, that understands what it is like to live in a real world. And He deals with us in such terms. He deals with us in those ways. And so I'm standing here today to tell you this, that Christ loves you. God loves you. And He's offering you that forgiveness today. He's offering you that mercy today. He's offering you that grace that says, Christ loves us. Maybe today it's time for you to accept His forgiveness. Maybe it's time for you to accept that grace that only comes in understanding that God loves us no matter what we have done. Maybe it's time today to deal with that mercy that says, God can heal my heart. God can heal my family. God can heal my life. God can take those heartaches away. If you're there today, won't you come as we prepare for our invitation this morning? I want to challenge you just in this moment to give thanks to those mothers in your life, whether it's your mom, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, those mothers that have gone so far above and beyond to give your life to you today. Also, I want you to be mindful that sometimes in those relationships, forgiveness has to come. Grace must be there, and mercy must be applied to those relationships. If you're in that moment today, won't you lift that situation up to God and allow Him to take that from you? Allow God to recognize that mothers are designed to be the original seatbelt in your life. A mother who protects you, comforts you, and strengthens you for the journey that you're about to face. That's the blessing of a real world mother. Father God, thank you so much for Mother's Day, that we celebrate and honor those that have given so richly and so blessed us in our journey. Father, we thank you that we can apply forgiveness and grace and mercy to that relationship, that we can find you faithful, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ being that propitiation for sin that changes us and challenges us. Father, help us to continue to be transformed by the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, won't you come this morning? It would be an honor for you to do so. Won't you stand as we sing in His time?